This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9 with your host Mal and co-host Duke.
It's 44 days to Rio. Can you believe it?
Yes, what a sprint. And it was me getting into the studio late tonight, not you.
Did you break the world record for the 100 metres down Bourke Street?
Just about.
Even with that leg?
Well, I've just been at the doctor, so I've got an update.
What did he or she say?
He said it's eventually will cure my knee injury, but it may be a stretch factor in my thigh, so it could be even worse.
But anyway, back to the start of the show. So yes, you're on That Sports Show.
Now, Stu, it's, as you said, 44 days to Rio, and it's been another big week in sport. Firstly, basketball is a really good news story. Remember that city we went to for the 2014 Gay Games?
Cleveland Akron.
Yes, that one. They won the NBA basketball championships.
Phenomenal.
And in a record, they came from 3-1 down in the 7-game series and won 4-3.
I'm so pleased for Cleveland because I think they're kind of struggling as a city and they're looking for ways to really super achieve to get population back.
Well, and LeBron James, their hero, he is the reason they won. He had won 2 championships at Miami and he said, I'm going home to Cleveland to win it for Cleveland. And last year they got to the final and lost to Golden State Warriors. And then this year, again playing Golden State Warriors, and they've won. And it's the best thing to happen to Cleveland.
Go Cavaliers. Great,
yes.
Great result.
Oh, it is. The last time they won a major championship was the Buccaneers in about the 1950s in American football.
Yeah, they'll be going off. Hi to my friend Vince from the medical center there in Cleveland. But anyway, that's a different
and
story.
And hi to Gary, who was in Cleveland as well, watching
and
the
Vitaly
game.
And Vitaly Plinto. But anyway, that's the games.
Yes, yes, yes. And to everyone else at Cleveland. So that was a really good news story. And also in the news this week, the US Open Golf was held and Dustin Johnson won with 276. And he beat Jim Furyk, Scott Piercy and Shane Lowry. And they were 3 shots behind. And then our Jason Day, world number one, he came 8th at 2 over. And then Adam Scott,
6 over,
that's right. Big tournament because they had to play a couple of rounds in the one day because they had torrential rain there in North Carolina.
You love North Carolina.
Oh, I do. We know a few people from there, but we don't care which bathroom we go to in North Carolina.
No, it's ridiculous.
That's right.
Ridiculous issue. Get onto the real stuff.
Now, Stuart, also this week, let's slow it down.
In rugby.
Oh, I'm rushing because I've just been running here. I'm on adrenaline. I haven't even taken off my jacket. Oh, dear. Rugby union. Well, the
Wallabies.
The Cook Cup was held between the Wallabies and the England team.
Yep.
And England are 2-0 up.
They're killing us.
Yeah, they won the last game 23-7.
How do we feel about them taking our coach, Eddie Jones?
Well, they didn't take him. We moved on from him and got someone else. And Eddie Jones is laughing all the way to the bank and to the trophy because the last match they played here in Melbourne at the Rectangular Stadium, because we don't give sponsor names.
We don't, no.
The Wallabies lost 23-7 to England and the state of the pitch was the big story. Mm. Did you see the scrums where they were scrumming? And
sure did.
It was like a sandpit.
It was.
I know. They've got great asses, haven't they, those rugby boys? The sand of the pitch, they may not hold an international rugby event at that ground again, is the word, because the pitch was so poor. But then Stadium Australia in Sydney, the pitches are poor as well, and they don't want to play soccer matches there either. So I say to ground curators, get your acts together and make these grounds world standard. Because when we were growing up, Stuart, you used to see the Australian cricket players play in the Caribbean, and they were playing as if they were playing on a cow paddock.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then you compare it to the MCG, which is pristine.
Not to mention the subcontinent, but let's not go
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Let's hear about tennis. What's going on there?
Oh, tennis. Well, we've got the Wimbledon warm-up tournaments, and they were played in Halle for the men, and in London at Queen's. Now, Andy Murray won a record 5th title. Amazing. And Florian Meyer, who age 32, was a wild card into the tournament, ranked in the low hundreds, like 190. He came up and won the whole tournament, beating everyone, including Federer and team and all that. And he rocketed to 120 places in the rankings. He's now number 80 in the world.
So he'll have a good lead up to Wimbledon then.
He's always played well. He played back in the days of Rafter and Philippoussis and Hewitt. Now, in the women's, we had a couple of tournaments in Birmingham. Madison Keys won that tournament and debuted in the top 10 for the women. She's the third American in the top 10 after the two Williams sisters. And Caroline Garcia won the tournament in Mallorca, which the hot favourite was, of course, the French Open champion Garbine Muguruza, but she was bundled out in the first round. And so Caroline Garcia won another tournament pre-Grand Slam. So good for her. And then this week they're playing in Nottingham for the men and Eastbourne for the women. And I'm sad to say that already Sam Stosur and Daria Gavrilova have already lost their first matches at Eastbourne.
That's not good for Sam because she's on a roll.
Yes, but she's never good on grass. She doesn't adapt her game. You've got to do a lot more slicing on grass so it doesn't bounce. Yeah. She played Caroline Wozniacki, who's come back from an ankle injury, and she got thrashed 6-2,
6-1. She needs to get those big shoulders behind the underspin, not the overspin. Mm.
And Daria Gavrilova lost 6-2, 6-2 to Karolina Pliskova. Oh, bing, bing.
And I'd like to talk about the next story, which is a phenomenal result for Australia. No. I'm going to let me finish. Australia's greatest male track and field Olympian.
Well, actually, Stuart, I'm going back because the message we just got in was from a tennis fan, Anna in Albury, who has mentioned that Florian Mayer had actually been injured for 2 years, and his opponent, well, I knew this, Anna, was Alexander Zverev from Germany, who beat Roger Federer in the semi. Alexander Zverev is 19 and Florian Mayer was 32.
Well, thanks, Anna, because you've been a great listener to our show for all these years. So thank you for that contribution.
Yes, from interstate. We have people listening online and we have people listening through the airwaves. Now,
to talk about this story,
you can. It's yours.
A sport that's very close to my heart, which is race walking.
It's all yours.
Australia's greatest male track and field Olympian is Jared Talent. Now, I watched
this
memorable 50-kilometre race walk in London with my friends over there. And now, Jared, after initially winning silver to the Russian Sergei Kudryapkin.
Say that one again.
Kudryapkin. unfortunately, he was rubbed out due to a doping impact on his biological passport.
He certainly is a dope.
Three years after the event. And so Jared was actually presented with the first Olympic medal presented in Melbourne since 1956. So great work by Bruce McAvaney to re-record the finish.
And, I saw that.
And Jared, in fact, won Australia's 21st Olympic track and field gold. Russian athletics, karma certainly does come around because during the week you were rubbed out, your entire team were rubbed out of competing in the Rio Olympics.
Yes.
And that is a real tragedy for those Russian athletes who are in fact clean, but we can't be sure that anyone is. So as a result, the IOC took the incredible stance of actually rubbing out Russia's track and field team, and that's a permanent decision now. I wonder how Vladimir Putin is going to explain that to people from Russia who are watching. I'm sure that'll be considered a Western conspiracy, but in fact, it's just drug cheating.
Well, apparently, if Russian athletes can prove they're clean, they may be allowed to compete as independent athletes, just like they're also allowing refugees to compete as the country of refugee or something. Yeah. Laugh if you wish, but it's true.
Okay, well, it's good that they can. I do think clean athletes, an entire country shouldn't be rubbed out because of the actions of a few. Unfortunately, it wasn't a few. There were a great many.
Systemic.
It was very systemic, yes.
Mm-mm. Well, you've had your moment in the spotlight. Now, Stuart, more Rio.
Back to you.
Back to us. More Rio. Genevieve Lacage, one of our favourites. She has qualified also for the 5,000 because she ran 15:21. She's faster than me. And she
sure
now is running
especially
the...
now.
Yeah, well, I'm injured. She's running the 3,000 steeplechase and she's now qualified for the 5,000. So well done, Genevieve. She's run 9 personal bests this year. Seven of them in the last couple of months.
So will she be running with Eloise Poppet-Wemyss?
Yes, and the third
in the 5,000.
That's right. And the third position could be Emily Brikacek, or someone else.
Yes, she's waiting, isn't she? Whether she's
we were talking about Emily last week.
Yes, another athlete who has made the team is Melissa Duncan, and what she's been saying is the Australian Institute of Sport has been charging athletes to actually live at the premises. So she's in the team.
1,500 metres.
Yeah, she's in the 15, which is fantastic. And she, look, it's always it's a tough event against the Africans, but it's great that Australians continue to perform and qualify and continue to do well to make the team.
Yes, I actually, breaking news, Stuart, the coach of Dibaba from Ethiopia has been arrested in Spain for drugs, and she runs the 1500 for Ethiopia. Mm. And the Ethiopians and the Kenyans are the top ones in middle distance for women's. So watch out. Yes, that's breaking news. Now, also, Stuart, in pre-Olympic news, the Kookaburras, the men's hockey team, have won the Champions Trophy, and they beat India, their old
rivals
from the 70s.
Nemesis.
Yeah, in a penalty shootout, 3-1. But did you know in hockey now, Stuart, they don't just do penalty flicks. They have kind of a, you run up and try and shoot at the goalie and try and get it around them.
Yeah.
I think that's weird.
It's a one-on-one battle. It's fabulous.
Yeah, no, I much preferred the flicks. I used to be able to do that.
Yeah, the set plays.
Yes, yes. I was a hockey player too. Were you?
Yeah, let's just go with yes on that.
Oh, you were on the bench, weren't you?
I was good with the sticks.
You were on the bench. The bench is a good place to be sometimes. Okay. Now, Stuart, more Olympic news. Now, this is becoming more commonplace. Olympic athletes, including our Paralympian Liesl Tetsch and her physio Sarah Ross, were robbed at gunpoint in Rio. Now, this has been happening a lot. Rio, I saw on the national broadcaster's news, and Brazil in general, has the highest murder rate in the world, much higher than America. And murder, kidnaps, robberies.
Well, what's Kitty Chiller doing about it? She's our chef de mission. What's she saying about the risks to security in Rio?
Well, she says they should beef it up.
Good on you, Kitty.
Stuart, we need Kitty. I reckon we should have a campaign, Kitty, for that sports show.
I thought Kitty was wonderful when she presented Jared Talent with a very special thing. She had, on the off chance that he actually got the gold retrospectively as a result of the drugs appeal, she actually had a special jacket made up. And on the inside
just
of the lining,
the
inside of the lining of Australian Olympians' jackets are the names of the gold medal winners from the Australian team. And she had a special one made up with the words Jared Talent in it. And she presented that to him on the steps of the Treasury building last Friday.
And she said it was right on the inside pocket, close to your heart.
Yes. I like Kitty. She's good.
I love her. She is really good.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Stuart, we are now going to talk pride and diversity on the show. And we have coming up Andrew Purchase, who's the Vice President of ACON in Sydney, and he's a co-founder of Pride in Sport Index. And hello, Andrew, you're on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
You are?
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Andrew.
Thank you.
Now, I attended recently the Australian Workplace Equality Index LGBT Inclusion Awards, and that was by an organisation called Pride in Diversity, which is a business of ACON. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the relationship between ACON and Pride in Sport?
Yeah, well, Pride in Sport and Pride in Diversity are basically sister programs of ACON. However, they both have a national coverage. Pride and Diversity covers workplace diversity and equality, whereas we set up Pride in Sport to be a similar program, but to be focusing on sporting organisations. So whereas Pride and Diversity has the Australian Workplace Equality Index, Pride in Sport has the Pride in Sport Index, and there's a Pride in Diversity membership program, and also we've launched a Pride in Sport membership program.
So who have you got as members now, Andrew? Who's joined up?
It was launched in March of this year, and it was basically it came about because the BM Cup, which was held in Sydney in 2014, the Human Rights Commission and the Sports Commission actually commissioned Pride and Diversity to develop an index. And now it's been run by basically the Pride and Sport. So we have the four football codes, so Rugby Union, Rugby League, AFL, Football Federation Australia, we've got Cricket Australia, we've got Water Polo Australia, I think basketball, I think New South Wales basketball have just joined as well. So all of those sports have committed to doing, to actually participating in the index. So the index will be held annually.
Yes.
And the first review will be taking place early next year.
Right. And then the index and review will lead to things such as what, training and networking events?
So I think there are two components of it. There's the membership program where Pride in Sport will provide assistance to national, state, and clubs in terms of how to make sure that the operations of their bodies are actually more inclusive. Whereas the index itself will basically set a benchmark identifying where we are currently, and it's being opened up to national and state sporting associations. So if we take Pride and Diversity as an example, it started about 7 years ago, and it's fundamentally moved the needle in terms of the way that workplace equality is viewed by all employers across Australia. And, you know, we've seen a significant improvement. And if you're at those awards the other night, I think there are 600 people there, and they're basically celebrating the level of diversity being demonstrated by Australian workplaces. And what we're hoping is that we'll see the same level of improvement across Australian sporting bodies and clubs, over the coming years.
Now, and Andrew, I was just reading off the website here for Pride in Sport. The case for LGBTI inclusion in sport is fairly compelling. 80% of participants witnessed or experienced homophobia in sport, and 87% of gay youth under 22 and 75% of lesbian Australian youth said that they were at least partially in the closet, keeping their sexuality secret from all or some of their teammates. What would you say about the why these organisations have joined to Pride in Sport?
Well, I think that we've seen the commitment to the great commitment to inclusion by some of the major sporting codes in Australia has been a bit of a journey, and it's kind of commenced. There's been a significant improvement over the last probably 3 or 4 years, whereas really sport lagged behind the rest of society in terms of recognising how important it was to be inclusive and actually being proactive about it, not just having not just having some limits to discrimination and anti-vilification. So I think the Bingham Cup, we commissioned the survey results called Out in the Field, and it demonstrated that the level of homophobia in sport is way above probably what exists in the general community. And I think the sports have recognised that. And I think now, given that we've provided a vehicle for them to improve the situation, I think they're embracing it. However, I think they've still got a ways to go.
Certainly have. Andrew, they certainly have, not only with GLBTI inclusion, but also with women. As you probably, you don't get as much AFL in your media up there, but with Eddie Maguire and his comments recently about the female journalist Caroline Wilson, talking with other panelists on his radio show, they were having a go at women, and it's just not on. And people like that should know better, and they need to keep being educated about GLBTI and female and other minorities' inclusion in sport and in the community in general. And so Eddie Maguire's copying a lot down here, and so he should.
Well, I think Andrew's really just talking about LGBTI.
No, but I'm just saying, LGBTI women and other minorities, as we're claimed to be, we have to keep educating the rest of them, don't we, Andrew?
Sure. I mean, I think, if we look at gender kind of more broadly, and, I'm not going to, obviously, I share your views in terms of in relation to what Eddie said. But if we look at the way these major sports are embracing women's sports so much more now than they were even say 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, that's right.
If we look at they've launched a women's AFL league. We've got women's sevens rugby playing in the Olympics.
Yep.
The equality, well, some of the equality reached in terms of pay for the conditions for women's sports teams traveling overseas.
Yep.
even the level of TV coverage.
It's good.
It's significantly different in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. The one that really stuck out was the men's and women's basketball teams. The women's basketball team were silver medalists and world champions, and they had to go in economy, and the men would go business or first, and they were never even getting a medal. And the women are just as tall. Well, not quite, but just as tall, really. So, you know, we're certainly too tall
for economy seats.
That's right. We are for equality on this show, whether it's GLBTI or women.
So Andrew, if there are some of our audience who are members of sporting codes who haven't yet joined up to the Pride in Sport index, what would you say to them about what they should be saying at club, state and federal level? What are the benefits of joining Pride in Sport?
Yeah. So I guess there are two things. There's the Pride in Sport Index, and currently that's open to all national and state sporting associations.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll open up to clubs later. So you know, I'd say to them to speak to their club presidents and to get them to speak to their state sporting associations and encourage them to commit to doing the index. It doesn't cost anything. Then also there's the Pride in Sport membership program, which is open to clubs, state and national sporting associations, and there are various levels of membership. And what Pride in Sport will provide are services in terms of reviewing all their policies. They'll provide advice in terms of activities they can do to promote inclusion. They'll provide something collateral in terms of education collateral. It'll also provide opportunities to run, I don't know, to show films and to demonstrate how can you as a club make sure that you're being as welcoming as possible to all people regardless of their sexuality.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your contribution tonight. Andrew Purchase, you're Vice President of ACON and you're the co-founder of the Pride in Sport Index. Thank you for being on That Sports Show.
No problem, guys.
And we'll talk to you in the... Thank you, Andrew, and we'll talk to you in the future to see how it's going.
Okay, excellent. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stuart, that's been a good thing, the Pride in Sport. Now, you're heading off soon, aren't you?
Well, I'm heading off to my long service leave overseas. I'm doing a cruise, and I'll be doing my preparation for my competition in World Masters Games, which is in Perth in late October.
Oh, okay, but that's not for a while, so you're not leaving me for a while. Now, we've also had another message in from Prue. Prue has said she's a first-time...
Where's Prue calling from?
Prue, she's calling from interstate as well. Not calling, she's messaged in, and she said she's a first-time listener, and she says it's great, you and Stuart are fantastic.
Wow.
That's nice, Prue. Thanks for your messages. Now, Stu, we will wrap up the show, but it's been a great show talking about basketball, the Cavs winning again, Stuart, US Open golf.
Go Cleveland, that's right.
Yeah, I know, that's right. Rugby union, unfortunately, we lost the Cook Cup. The tennis, warming up for Wimbledon. We'll have to get Daniel or Demetra back. Wimbledon starts.
We've got phenomenal
that local... starts next week. We'll have to get
local
them back.
Experts in tennis. We're very lucky there.
Yeah, I think we'll have to get one of them back for the show next week. And then, of course, more Olympics, track and field, hockey, Paralympics.
44 days to go.
44 days.
Danger, Zika. One of the Irish golfers pulled out today because of the risk of the Zika virus. So
really?
That remains a controversy.
You mean Rory?
Not listening to the
Rory,
news, Malcolm.
No, Rory McIlroy. That's old news.
Oh, I heard him interviewed tonight talking
about
it.
No, that's old news. I knew that. And, you know, that's... I don't worry for the men with Zika. I worry for the women if there's the potential that they'd be pregnant and they don't know it.
Mm.
Because it's an illness that doesn't really affect you. But if you're pregnant, it can cause consequences for your children. Mm. So I'm not so worried for the male athletes. I think the women should get pregnancy tested before they go because that's just my view. I think it's a good view. Kitty should be handing out pregnancy tests.
Kitty's got so much to handle. Yeah.
Yeah, Kitty. Yeah. Kitty, hand out the pregnancy.
She's already given out the super strength condoms. She may as well do pregnancy as well.
That's right. Anyway, it's been a great show.
Thanks for being on That Sports Show.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.